Hello, my Walking with Jesus friends, on this Friday. 1 week from today, as you know, is Good Friday, the day this year that we honor the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. As you may know, the Jewish Passover this year begins at sundown tomorrow. In the weeks leading up to that world-changing Passover Easter weekend about 2,000 years ago, Jesus led his disciples through several very powerful experiences which God intended to prepare them for that life-changing weekend, which was the ultimate purpose for which Jesus had come to earth in his incarnation. Jesus himself explained that miraculous purpose with these words: "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." John 3:16-17. In the past few days, you and I have been walking along with Jesus and his disciples through several of those experiences, seeking to understand what Jesus wanted his disciples to learn, because it seems clear to me God wants us to learn the same lessons today. So, let's rejoin Jesus and his 12 disciples, ready to learn. The Bible does not tell us exactly where Jesus was, nor how many days it was before that Passover Easter weekend, when suddenly a weary runner found Jesus and pantingly delivered his painful news. In those days, if you had a very urgent message to send, you paid someone to run as fast as they could, looking for the person for whom you intended the urgent message. The message Jesus heard was this: "Lord, the one you love is sick." John 11:3. I'm sure the runner then quickly explained that he had come from the town of Bethany, and the message was from sisters Mary and Martha. The sisters and their brother Lazarus were dear friends of Jesus and his disciples, who had many times in their travels to Jerusalem had eaten meals in their home and even stayed the night there. Immediately the disciples looked at Jesus and reached for their belongings. To a man, they all expected they'd be heading for Bethany within minutes. But once again, Jesus shocked them with unexpected and even confusing words. "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." John 11:4. Now, what could that possibly mean? How could a terrible sickness, maybe even a terminal sickness, be for God's glory? I assume some questions were asked of Jesus, but John, the close friend of Jesus who gives us the story, makes no mention of those questions. Moments turned to hours. Soon the sun was setting, and strangely, Jesus had made no mention of or preparations for going to Bethany. I doubt the men slept much that night. Confusion and unanswered, troubling questions can rob us of sleep, can't it? Perhaps Jesus wanted to get an early start, so I would imagine they were all up early and ready. But Jesus seemed almost oblivious, ignoring the obvious. What is going on? Why are we not rushing to Bethany? John tells us that whole day passed with Jesus making no mention of or plans for traveling to Bethany. By the next morning, I'm sure the men were wondering if their friendship with Jesus was authentic and safe. If this is how Jesus responds to the tragic news his dear friend Lazarus is very sick, what should his disciples expect Jesus might do if suddenly they were very sick or had a tragic accident or were under attack by vicious animals or, worse yet, Roman soldiers? Have we done that, my friends? Have we drawn false conclusions when God seems unresponsive? Finally, Jesus said, "Our dear friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to awaken him." John 11:11. Confusion and frustration at not understanding the total unresponsiveness of Jesus over the past 2 days, the disciples were befuddled, and one said, "Lord, if he sleeps, he'll get better." That makes sense. We all know bed rest is good for almost every ailment. I can see the disciples nodding in agreement until Jesus shocked them again with his next words: "Lazarus is dead, and for your sake, I'm glad I was not there, so that you may believe. Come, Let us go to him. John 11:14-15. What words describe your state of mind and heart when the situation you are facing is way beyond confusing, even beyond incoherent or incomprehensible? That's where the disciples found themselves. What was Jesus saying to these men? Death is a serious matter. Death is nothing to be confused or flippant about. Death needs very clear answers. Everyone expects that, right? So, off they went toward Bethany. And when they arrived, they found what they expected: death grief. The wailing could be heard even before they saw the familiar home where they'd eaten many times. Martha found Jesus and his disciples first. "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." John 11:21. Oh my! Have you ever felt the crushing load of expectations with accusatory questions woven into them? If you consider yourself a Christian, have you ever found yourself being held responsible by someone for their disappointment with Jesus? Jesus' response must have seemed so insensitive, inadequate, unloving, and because of the relationship they all had with Martha and Mary, simply cold-hearted. But Jesus had selected his words carefully. Jesus had delayed his coming intentionally to allow Lazarus time to die. In these days before Passover Easter weekend, every moment was important for Jesus. Martha responded to Jesus, "Oh, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus paused. The disciples leaned in to hear what Jesus might say next. With that loving smile and an understanding touch on her arm, Jesus says words that have brought hope to millions of people all around the world since that day. "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" John 11:25-26. Frowns furrowed every brow who heard the words Jesus just spoke. What could he possibly mean? Death is final, not arbitrary or temporary. Everyone knows that. How can a person live even though they die? Was Jesus actually promising immortality? His question seemed to hang in the air forever. Everyone, like Martha, was searching their own soul. What did Jesus mean? What did these friends of Lazarus that day, as well as you and me today, believe about death, about Jesus, about resurrection, about immortality? It's so important we need time to think, don't we? So let's pause right here, and we'll return to Bethany tomorrow.